Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fraggles and dozers, welcome to another electrifying episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in the Coachella Valley, the backdrop for most of our ridiculous tales of ineptitude. Coming hot out of the gate is episode number 6, or The Return of the Tribbles. As always, the voice to my right, your left, is the Muttley to my Snidely Whiplash, the Whistler to my Blade, Frankie Ramirez.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
I am actually... Do you even know who Snidely Whiplash is?
You know, I can honestly say nope.
That would be Hanna-Barbera cartoons. He's the guy that always had the mustache and the dog was the...
Okay, yeah.
That would be Muttley.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
All right. I'm actually pretty excited about this episode, but I'm also a little sad about this episode. This is the return of the Tribbles, or actually the return of Clutter.com.
Oh, I'm definitely sad about this episode.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to our other episodes, shame on you, first of all. But anytime, this is a piece of information to carry forward with you to whatever career you choose. I think it transcends all careers. If you can get people to feel like they are a part of something, then you win, because they will always come to you. They will always be on your side. They will always gravitate towards you because they feel like they're a part of it. That's why people always want to find a band that's new. Like, I listened to Pearl Jam when they were Mookie Blaylock, anything like that. If you can say that, then you know that you've got a fan for life. And I am always going to be a fan for life for Clutter.com, because I feel like I was there when they first started. In fact, I know I was there when they first started selling auctions. And that was an earlier episode of the podcast, which was the 90 Pallets was the second one. And when I was in L.A. and driving, I knew that there was nobody else bidding on these things. I thought that Clutter.com had shut down because I cost them $10,000 at the docks for making a mess, which they said was all right. Come to find out, they were just regrouping. They were rallying the troops, so to speak, and they actually decided to do their auction legitimately. They got rid of the, not necessarily legitimately, not that the other one, the way they were doing it before, was not legitimate. They just were not capable of handling what was needed. They hired the big dogs. They hired American Auctioneers, who are Storage Wars, Dan Dobson, and all that crew.
Yeah, America.
America. There you go.
There you go. Doesn't get more American than that.
Doesn't get more American than that. Why are you opening root beer on the show?
Because I need to get to my roots.
All right. So they did, as it turns out, this is the third year I've been a part of it. I think they've done it 4 years, and I might have missed one, or maybe they skipped one. As I said, they brought in American Auctioneers, and I have always contacted their website to try to figure out when they were doing another auction, and they just kind of shut down. I just happened to be cruising through the auction websites, and American had it listed on their websites, and I about shit my pants. And I saw it. I took the day off, and I had to go down there because I had to see what they were doing. When I got there, I had found out that they had actually done it the week before. I missed the first week. But the guys that were there said, "You missed nothing." They said, they pulled out 20 or 30 pallets, and everybody that was there walked away. Nobody bid on anything. They just left. And I said, "What are you talking about? Nobody bid on anything?" Like, no. They said it was all old appliances that were beat to hell and greasy and oily, falling off the pallets, and nothing. It was all garbage. It's like there were actually somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 200 people at this auction, and it was so bad that everybody left. He's like, at this one, there, when I was there for the second week, there were only 20 people bidding.
So they figured it was going to happen again.
So everybody there just dropped out and said, screw it, I'll go. Because they also, strangely enough, American did it on the same day as one of the other big auction companies had several auctions around Southern California. Like, there were auctions in San Diego, there were auctions in Los Angeles, and I actually missed auctions in the desert, my turf, for this, because I had a pretty good feeling about it. But they really kind of, American kind of screwed this up. If you remember from the last ones, and I'm sure you will remember this very well, when I bought 90 pallets, I was bidding on someone's entire contents. So the auction was, if you put your stuff in storage and they put it on pallets and put it in their warehouse, they sold it off as lots. So all of your stuff, if it fit on 12 pallets, you were bidding on 12 pallets as one lot. At this particular auction last week, they put all of the pallets out, lined them up on four rows outside, and it was 102 that day in Riverside, and they started the auction at 11 o'clock. Oof. So it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wasn't there, so it wasn't too much fun.
you were schlepping over a hot grill.
Yeah, it was.
So they actually had lined up all of these pallets in a row, and they auctioned them off one at a time, which is super not cool because you could see who the owners were. Like, you could tell which what owner owned what pallets because they had them kind of organized that way. But you also knew that if you bought one pallet that was just boxes, you couldn't see what was in the boxes. You were just buying blindly. That if you bought a table, the next one had chairs, or one pallet had two chairs and the next pallet had two chairs. No. Yeah, so you were...
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, you were totally screwed. And it started out expensive. These people are buying a pallet, just a typical pallet, which is, what, 3x3, 3 foot by 3 foot, and it would have six boxes on it. And the first row, all of them went for over $150.
Jesus.
Yes, and the big buyers, like, there's another guy that's been on Storage Wars quite a bit, and he comes out to the desert, and I talk to him occasionally, and he and I are just like, well, this is a waste of my time. He saw me, he's like, I can't believe you came all the way out here from the desert. And I told him my experience from them before. He's like, really? Because someone came out last year, or he's like, he knew somebody that did clutter when I did it, and they said they lost their shirt. And I was like, how could you lose their shirt? I bought 90 pallets and paid like $400. I'm like, that's not losing. Even if I got zero money out of it, it was only $400. But I know that there were some big units that had sold that I wasn't a buyer on. So it was possible. I said, well, maybe I just got lucky on them. But so they were ridiculously expensive. The nice thing is I bought a couple of them here and there that were less than that. I ended up spending somewhere in a neighborhood of less than $1,000. I ended up buying 12 pallets. So I paid roughly less than $100 a pallet overall. But once they ended up getting even harder. Apparently there's a dude that was there, and I had to ask them who it was because they're out of Southern California. Again, this is Riverside, so it's kind of outside of my jurisdiction. There was a guy there that was just throwing money around. I was surprised he didn't just pull out his wallet and just start throwing hundreds in the air. He bought a pallet and spent like $1,200 for it because it had a guitar case on it. Wow. And I said, and then he did the same thing on the next pallet and the next one. I'm like, who is this guy? And so the guy I was talking to, he's like, oh, that's Papa Smurf, or he had some weird name like that. And he's like, he is a multimillionaire. He lives on the beach in Malibu or some shit. And he has a barn on his property, like this massive, like almost hangar on his property. And every weekend he has a huge estate sale, garage sale out of this hangar. I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine how happy your neighbors are in Malibu that you're doing this. And that's all he does. So he doesn't care if he makes money or not. He just likes doing it. So he just throws money around. So that also beefed up the, prices of them. Fortunately, towards the end, again, it started at 11 o'clock, and by the time they actually started the auction, it was already 102. By the time they got to the last row, people had started fading out, and at that point, you had to take all that stuff out that day, so if you didn't have a truck, you either had to go rent one or get your boys in there with their big box truck. And I had taken my box truck knowing that I'd planned on buying stuff. So when we got to the last row, the auctioneer cut me deep. He cut me, man. He cut me deep. He started, because he was hot and tired, he said, if you want this person's entire contents, which is about 15 pallets, first person that wants them, $1,000, they're all yours. Had he started on that side of the pallets and not the other one, I would have given him $1,000 on the spot, because I had gone through those and I was like, wow, these people had money. You could tell that they had money. And the problem with clutter.com was they had three different setups. You could call them and you could box your own stuff and then they would just come pick it up. You could call them and they would come out and box your stuff up and pallet it, or you could do a combination of both. So you kind of had to, if you've never worked with them before, you really didn't know what you were looking at, but I kind of did. So for a moving company, if they're boxing something up, and let's say you have a lamp is one box. So if somebody bought that first pallet, six boxes, and it happens to have six lamps, you just paid $150 for six lamps, because they only put one lamp. If it's something heavy, they only put one heavy item in a box. So you have to kind of look, engage, and you can tell by how they label the boxes. What was their codes were like SP or something like that, which is self-packed or personally packed or PP or something like that. So you had to kind of gauge, okay, these people couldn't afford to have them come out and fill their own boxes. And then you could see the ones where they boxed and they said box by clutter. And you're like, oh, they had money. But then you also had to gauge how many boxes they had, because you're like, oh, what did one vase is one box.
Yeah, you know? they wouldn't fill a box.
Yeah,
you know?
So, yeah. Okay. So, but I went through a couple of the boxes. Like, they would actually let you open the top box and kind of peek into it. You weren't allowed to dig through them. And I started going through a couple of top boxes, and this lady had serious money. I bought three of her lots, and I should have bought the other art lot. I sold two of the art pieces to Joey.
Oh, that's right.
From Stuff. They were actually Obey, the... Is it a skateboard company or art company, whatever? Obey, known for Andre the Giant posters.
Yeah,
I had two of their pieces that were actually the prints, not the prints, but the not even lithographs. The heavy paper, limited edition, 1 of 300, heavy cardboard. Shepherd was his name, I think. Shepherd.
Something.
Two of his pieces, and I sold those, and they pretty much covered everything I paid. But I had a set of dishes that was worth $200 or $300. I had jewelry, I had everything, and that was good stuff. I wished I would have bought her entire unit. I also had all of her paperwork that said that they lived in Beverly Hills, they had rental properties in Los Angeles, and they were bankrupt. And I had all of their paperwork for bankruptcy and all of her bills. She apparently really, really, really enjoyed shopping at Bloomingdale's. So the problem with that was, so I started, again, you have to load everything up. And I thought of you the whole time because I was sure that I wasn't going to be able to fit everything that I purchased into my box truck, and then I'd either have to come back or have to do something like we did before and donate a bunch of stuff out. I was actually able to get everything just barely into my box truck. I mean, I had stuff on my lap when I was driving home.
And I'm not surprised that you fit everything in the box truck.
I'm pretty good. I'm like a Tetris master.
I learned a lot from you, and that is one of the things I've learned. I've done moving jobs for like friends and stuff, and they're like, what the hell? I would have never fit that in the truck. I was like, what? Kind of have some experience, you know?
I've only done this for a little while. But, so, there is another story to this that, I'm going to reiterate, it was 102 out. It was hot. I had tons of water with me, but you have to remember, I'm loading boxes. And I bought two pallets of nothing but unfolded boxes from, if you watch Duck Dynasty, the mother and the daughter had a subscription company for a while, where a monthly subscription where they sent you Christian related items. They would have a book, a CD, water, weird water, something like that. Well, that company went under, and I bought a pallet of the boxes for their monthly subscription, just the unfolded boxes. Only reason I bought them is because they're really good shipping boxes. I knew I could sell them. I sold them quite quickly, actually. But I had an entire pallet of them, so you're talking 800 of them. I can't load them by the pallet because I can't take the pallet. So I have to load 800 boxes by myself, and I have two pallets of them. And you can only pick up 40 or 50 boxes at a time.
What's a little ironic was the first job you had me do was 90 pallets, and I literally thought we were moving 90 pallets. But you buy 800 boxes, and all you're doing is moving 800 boxes. No wonder why you didn't tell me about this.
It's good stuff. So I'm loading this stuff up, and I also have to load furniture. I have this stone vase that it has to be 300 pounds. I had to have two other guys help me lift it in the truck just so I could fit it in there. Again, it's 102 out, so I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm tired. And I move from they have the pallet split up into two separate sections. And there's this one guy there that apparently some people knew, and they said he's kind of a jackass. I had never seen him before. Again, I was outside my jurisdiction. And so I move my box truck, back it up into the pallets of my section. And at this point, I'm starting to load boxes, the 800 boxes. And all of a sudden, this dude comes over and he's like, "Whoa, what the hell's going on? Where's all my stuff? Someone stole all my stuff. Someone stole all my stuff." And I was like, so I'm like, all right, I need a break anyway. So I just sit down on the tailgate of my box truck because I know that this guy's coming at me because I parked right next to him. And he's like, "That's my stuff in the back of your truck. That's my stuff." And I was like, okay, here's the deal, guy. If you're accusing me of stealing your stuff, I'm going to kill you right now. And he's like, "I'm not accusing you of anything, but that's my stuff." I was like, well, that's kind of accusing me of stealing your crap. I said, "I didn't steal any of your crap." I said, "I have more crap than I know what I'm going to do with." I said, "I'm not even going to be able to get all my crap in this truck," because at this point I was only a quarter full and I still had like 10 pallets to go. And so he's screaming up and down and he wants to, and he steps up on my truck.
Oh, no. Big no-no.
And I said, "You have 10 seconds to get the fuck off my truck." And he's like, "What?" I was like, "You have no business here." I was like, "If you got a problem, you bring it up with me. But if you step on my truck, we're going to have a real problem right now." And normally, I'm a pretty mellow guy. I don't have beefs with anybody. I don't care. But I was already hot, tired, and sweaty. And this guy's going to make me start pulling stuff off my truck so I can reload it again. Not going to happen. So the auctioneer comes over, and the auctioneer is already a friend of mine because I gave him my umbrella halfway through the auction because he's dying, and I was smart enough to bring an umbrella for Shade, and I was like, "Here, you go, take this." He's like, "Oh, my God, you're a god." So he loves it, but that's nice. Hang on a second.
That's a good one.
That's one for the blooper reel. That's Tuesday, our cat's shooting out snot.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's usually, good one. It's usually about 4 or 5 inches long coming out of her nose.
That's pretty close.
Get it out, baby girl. Feel better?
It's out.
She's been trying to get that out for 2 days.
Good for her.
I'm glad she finally got it. She's going to start racing around now. So auctioneer comes over, and he's like, "What's going on?" And he starts pointing out the furniture that is wrapped in furniture pads in my truck. And he's like, "That's mine. I bought that and all that stuff." And I was like, "Dude, this came from the other side." I said, he's like, "There's no number on it," because they would number the pallet. Like if my auction number was 47, he would mark it 47. And he tried to go around to every box that was on a pallet and put 47, so you couldn't do that. But for furniture, you couldn't really do it. And it was just a shitty little console, which I really... had he been cooler, I'd been like, "Here, take it. It gives me another 3 feet in my truck, and then I can easily get everything." But he came at me, and fortunately, Ron, the auctioneer, is a great guy. He intervened and said, "Look," he's like, I vouch for Matt indubitably and implicitly. Yeah. He is not stealing your crap. He doesn't want your crap. It is what it is." And that dude kept watching my truck, and like I walked down to the other side to where the third section of pallets were, where the good stuff was, and I looked back, and I could see him looking in my truck. And I was like, "Oh, dude, I swear to God, if you put one foot on my truck, I am going to lay you out." And that's why I was like, "I wish you were there, because I think you probably would have kicked that dude's ass."
Oh, definitely.
He was about to get power bombed by me, and so.
Oh, I would have loved to pick him up and slam him.
He was tiny. He was tiny. I mean, he's exactly what you would... Anybody that's running their mouth that big is usually... He was probably...
Oh, yeah, little man syndrome.
He was probably 5'4", 5'5", maybe a buck 05.
And it's too hot for them to handle.
So. Yeah, yeah. And he was working hard. So, that is... So, those ended up being just wonderful. Oh, that had... So outside of the rich people, I also had a guy's stuff that I think he was probably I think he was a stuntman in Hollywood or something in that industry. He had just an awesome T-shirt collection. He had T-shirts from gyms from all over the world: Saigon, Thailand, Korea, England, France, and they were all mostly Muay Thai and karate, things like that. But he also had a T-shirt collection of vintage T-shirts. He had Metallica 92 concert T-shirt, who are a ton of punk bands, and he also had an original T-shirt from Caesar's Palace when Mike Tyson fought Evander Holyfield.
Oh, the good old when he was hungry.
Yeah. And it was an original T-shirt. I think that's what it was. It was pretty cool.
I think Evander Holyfield has his piece of his hair in his room. Still to this day.
What else is he going to? Not like they're going to put it back. Delicious.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to think what else is in there.
I don't know what was in there because you didn't tell me anything about it.
No, well, that was... I bought that stuff and I'm still going through it. Like I got rid of all the, I still, that stuff is still in my truck for the most part. It's almost empty now, but I couldn't get to anything in the trucks because the last thing I loaded were the boxes. And so I had to sell the boxes because I wasn't going to take the boxes off the truck, put them in my garage and then put them back on the truck.
Yeah.
I just waited till I sold them. And then I started going through the stuff cause I knew I wasn't going anywhere anyway. So,
cool. You probably have like a couple gold bars in there. You don't even know about it.
The last thing I went through, which again, I was 2 weeks later, was the dish set. It was all clad. It's like an $800 set new. Wow,
nice.
Yeah.
So what? So probably that was $300 for it, maybe?
I put $250, I think, on eBay. It's a 10-piece set. I think. Somebody, the problem with this auction, somebody got the other box with the rest of the kitchenware because I had the pot set, but I was missing one pot and I had one nonstick skillet, which somebody else had the rest of the nonstick skillet. Yeah. So if I'd have had all 20 pieces or 25 pieces, that was probably like a $1,500 or $2,000 set. But they.
It seems like clutter is barely getting used to what to do and what not to do.
They're slowly figuring out, but again, they only have one auction a year, so their learning curve is forever. It was funny because I was listening to Ron, the auctioneer, talk after with one of the guys, the head dudes, and you can tell who the head dudes are because they're the dumbasses in black slacks and long sleeve shirts with a tie on. You're like, oh, you've never done this before, but they're like, maybe we should start it earlier next year. Like, oh, yeah, what a good idea. Maybe start it at 8, you know, when it's not at 105.
Yeah.
So I still think I love that. I love that facility. 90% of the stuff that they were selling was garbage. You could see that. See, the other problem with clutter is they will also bid out jobs to come clear an estate. Meaning if you've been evicted from your house, somebody has to come clear that so that the landlord can re-rent it.
Yeah.
And they legally are not supposed to do that. So they have to hire a third party. So the third party just comes in and boxes everything. Like if there's an empty sugar packet on the ground, it has to go in a box. Those are the ones you have to be really careful with. And I think that's probably how they started out as a company, is that's what they were doing. And then they realized there was more money in it, but they continued doing the closeouts or the liquidations.
I feel like their auctions are definitely like a mandatory go to see what's there, because it's always going to be give or take really good or just really bad.
That is clutter.com is a complete gamble. That's like that one time of the year where you're like, let's go to Vegas and spend some money and see if we shoot some craps and see what happens. It's in, like I said, I was talking to the big rollers there, and they were in the same boat. They're like, there's no point in me. It's like, I don't want to gamble on this stuff. And I was like, well, you know what? Screw it. I'm already here. I've already paid the gas, the box truck. I'm going to buy something.
Yeah.
And there were a couple lots that I really wanted, and then they went crazy high. And I was fortunate enough at that point. Like, I have just started carrying clothing in the shop, and I saw the reason I bought the guy's T-shirt lot is the box literally – was marked T-shirts. And I was like, well, shit, whatever, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And it turned out really good. And I also bought, and because of that, that one box had another 7 or 8 boxes on the pallet. And that pallet was all just really cool stuff. Like he had a couple of pairs of vintage Nikes. He had some kettlebells, which I did not realize those little suckers are expensive.
They are.
Those are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 bucks a piece.
Yep, depending on the weight.
Yeah, I've got a 35 and a 25, and I was like, oh, I figured they're probably $1 a pound. No, they're about $2 a pound. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't sell them, though, because I work out quite a bit. I needed them.
You never know when you got to toss someone out of your box truck.
Yeah, yeah. I got to throw one at some little guy for stepping on my truck.
That would hurt.
That's about it. That is the end of episode 6-ish for The Misadventures of Owning a Thrift Store. Thank you again for watching. If you have any, if you want to see anything that we talked about or have any questions, contact us at findersthrift.com or go to the Instagram finders_thrift, finders_vinyl. Have a great day.
Great night.